Welcome to our discussion of the rabbinic response to the cholera plague of 1831. Back in the 1830s, there was a plague that lasted for several years of cholera, a terrible disease that killed many, many individuals. And the Jewish community responded back then, and we have exact records of how they responded and what they did. There was a major debate, though, in that time, and I'd like to dedicate this discussion into the memory of all those who passed away this past year, we're saying Kaddish for this year, and also some who had Yahrzeit this week, and also some who were passed away just this past week, and their families are sitting Shiva for them this week. family of Brooksy Gold and Stevie Stephen Brooksy Gold, Myra Gold, their mother Raynell Gold, Rachel Elka Bas Yisrael. Yizichra Baruch, may her memory be a blessing. And Audrey Roth, Chana Basra Avram, that's Diana Lazar's mother, who passed away this past week. Yizichra Baruch, may her memory be a blessing to her entire family. Also, those who are saying Kaddish for this year, Mel Katz, Mary Chezkel Ben Kalman HaKohen, also Louise Morris, Libby Bas Alter, and Ted Roberts, Avram Ben Baruch Ben Dit HaLevi, and those whose Yahrzeits are this week, Robert Back, Regina Glass, Ben Gruber, Sadie Bernansky, Lillian Kapel, Isidore Malkin, Norma Schlossberg, and we'll be mentioning others later in the week as well. So here was the cholera epidemic, and there's a famous story that they tell about it, and it's hard to pin down exactly how the story happened, but you get the general idea of what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's position was. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, great lover of Israel, the great preacher, the great father of the Musar movement, to encourage people to have proper midos and proper behavior and to live their lives with full avodas Hashem and worship of God in a beautiful way. So he said that he has a solution. Yom Kippur is coming. He doesn't want people to fast because he feels if they're already compromised, their health is compromised. There's a plague going around, the cholera epidemic. If he lets them fast, they'll get so weak, they'll all catch it. So he said, why don't you do this? Make a vow that you're not going to eat that day. Then when Yom Kippur comes, there's a rule that one prohibition can't fall on another. So I'm making a vow that I'm not going to eat for the next few days. And then when Yom Kippur comes, it falls on top of that vow. And in Isur, Chalal Isur, one prohibition can't fall on top of another. So then the only problem of fasting is a problem of a vow. The vow, I guess you could annul it, or right, it's not so terrible, you broke the vow, it's not as bad as you breaking Yom Kippur. Something like that. That's what someone suggests, that he said. Some people remember that he got up and he ate a piece of mezuinos, he ate a piece of cake, and he said, borei minei mezonos, he made a bracha, and he ate the cake in front of everyone. Some say that he made kiddush, or that first he said, okay, if you need to eat, go home, everyone should go home. Nobody went home. So he said, I'm going to eat. And he ate. He made Kiddush, and he ate. But in any event, what's clear is he felt that in order to prevent the plague from being able to be more susceptible to the plague, everyone should eat that particular year. Some say that he only allowed it, pachos bachos mechazayas, that he only allowed to eat small measures, you know, less than one side of the mouth full of water, and less than an ounce or so of food. At a time, and then 8 minutes later, they could eat more. So some say that he did it that way. But in any event, he told people they should eat. One of the things that he was mitzarif, that he added to the leniency. You know, sometimes you want to make a lenient point, and you say, look, this is a point. You don't want people to get sick, so they should eat. But he felt, well, maybe that's not a good point. So here's another point. The second point was, Chas v'sholom, there should be Chil Hashem. Maybe there would be desecration of God's name. People would say that we brought the cholera. The cholera is a Yiddish way of saying cholera, cholera. We brought the cholera. We brought this cholera. We brought this epidemic because so many Jews would die in Yom Kippur, and then they would say, "Oh, it's all the Jews' fault. They're the ones who did it." We find the same concern today that you know all these different communities where Jews are being affected. Some people could argue, oh, look at the Jews, they're getting sick. Of course, it's nonsense. People get sick. It's once someone gets sick, they live in community, and other people get sick too. But it doesn't mean anything one way or the other. But of course, there are anti-Semites, and there'll always be anti-Semites, and they'll say things. So so he said that's also a concern. People might say that if the Jews get sick, they'll say that we started and spread this epidemic. Now, there were others who disagreed, and they said, no, this is not enough of a reason to break your fast. If someone was sick, they could break it, but if not, they shouldn't break it. And the question is, if right now, let's say a lot of people are not sick, but they might get sick. If they fast, they'll be weak. If they're weak, then they'll be susceptible. They will be immune system will be down, and then they'll catch it. Can they then break it now in anticipation that they might catch it later? Rabbi Akiva Eger said no. Well, in our shul in Posen, we'll set up a bunch of doctors in the shul, and the minute anybody has any question, they start feeling bad. You must go to the doctor. Ask him if you need to eat. If you do, you go home and you make kiddush and you eat. So there are three ways of looking at this debate as to whether they should eat in advance or not. One theory is, the question is, does the fasting make you ill, or does the overeating after the fast make you ill? A lot of people would say fasting is healthy, there's nothing wrong. But what happens? First they fast, they feel okay. Then they break their fast and they overeat. Then they get diarrhea, they get stomach aches, and then they're really sick. So you want to eat now because you're afraid you're going to overeat later? No, I can't give you that. Just don't eat so much. But the other one said, look, people can't control themselves. If you let them fast, they're going to overeat. And they overeat, their digestive system, their body won't be able to handle it, and they'll get sick. So we have to stop it now. We have to let them eat. Second way of looking at the debate between Rabbi Shaul Salanter and Rabbi Akiva Eger and others who got involved in this debate is brought by Rabbi Zevin in Mo'adim Uzmanim. He says, the question is, how will my decision impact on others? Right? Like in this crisis we're in right now, with the coronavirus, we could say, well, I'm under 60 years old, so I don't have to worry about it. Good health. And so we'll open the shul, but we'll only open it for people who are under 60, under 70, and we'll stand 6 feet away from each other and all that. Yeah, but what'll happen when you make that psak? Oh, some people say, look, I may be 80, but you know, I'm pretty sturdy, so I think I'll come to shul too. And I do have a little bit of emphysema, but you know, hasn't acted up recently, so I'll come to shul also. After all, I have your sight, what am I going to do? And before you know it, what's the impact of the decision you make? So you could say, the rabbi could say in the cholera 1832, he could say, look, if you feel well, you should stay home. You don't have to eat. But then people who should eat won't eat. So maybe the people who don't need to eat need to eat. So what's going on? That was the debate. The third approach is, should we depend on the doctors? Apparently the doctors in those days said, I think they better eat. But they said, look, that's not the halacha. The halacha is when someone's sick, they can eat in Yom Kippur. No question about it. No, absolutely not. Absolutely, if they're sick, they can eat. But if they're not sick, how can they eat? What about Rabbi Akiva Eger? Was he insensitive to the situation? Well, actually, he made a lot of interesting institutions as well, sort of half measures about it. 1832, he puts out an epistle with all the rabbis. They had a Vada Chalaria. They had a committee, the Chalaria Committee, the Cholera Committee. And they even called a holy ra. Holy ra, it's a bad illness. They made a Hebrew pun out of it. So he says, number one, we're going to have two services. No one could sit next to each other. They didn't know about 6 feet, but they knew about not sitting next to each other. So he said, all right, now if we have, let's say, 500 people in the shul, then how are we going to do this? So he said, look, we'll make two services. One will have to start at 5:30 in the morning on Rosh Hashanah, and it'll end at 10:30. And then the other group will come in, and no one will sit next to each other. Now, when you get called to the Torah, a lot of people like to make a mishaberach for their aunt Matilda and their sister and their brother. And he says, no, only one mishaberach per person. And everyone and the chazan shouldn't go too long. We have to cut out certain prayers and certain piyutim, certain minor later poems that were inserted. We have to take them out. The service has to be quick so that the other people can get in. And before you come to shul, everyone has to have something to eat, at least a cup of tea. And anyone who has even a chusha kala, even if you have a slight bad feeling, you should eat, you should make kiddush after the blowing of shofar, you should make kiddush and have a full breakfast. Not before. Kol nidre at night, You should only go till 10 o'clock. Today we go till 9:30. But in those days, 10 o'clock was ending early. And on Yom Kippur, the first service, 5:45 to 10:30. Musaf must end by 3, I guess, to give a rest. And then they had two doctors, as we said, in the shul to make sure anybody had any questions. And then he said the following, and this is very relevant today. Don't hide any illness at all. If you have some illness, you've got to tell the doctor. And if you don't, it's bichlal shvichus domim. It's as if you're killing people. You say, oh, I think I'll go to shul, I have to say kaddish, I have to do this, we're going to have a minyan, we'll be in the backyard, and we'll stand over here, and we'll stand over there. And then somebody dies, God forbid. Shvichus domim. It's like you have murder on your hands. That's what you're doing for the memory of your loved one, is to spill blood. This is the wrong thing to do. Rav Gutmacher wrote to the Ruki Beger of Gutmacher, Eliyahu Gutmacher, who was later one of the proto-Zionists. He says something very modern. He says, it's not proper to be in a small, cramped space. You've got to be spread out. So he was aware of this social distancing, Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher, as well. So we as Jews were an old people. We know it. What happened last time. There's a joke that at the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue, historic synagogue, is over 350 years old. I was there when I was younger. They had a beautiful service when Kennedy was shot. The next day they put together a beautiful service. So someone asked the rabbi, "Rabbi, this is a great job. How did you put together such a beautiful service so quickly?" He said, "No problem. We went in the archives. We saw what the service they had for Lincoln when he was shot, and we did use the same service again." So I would say the same thing. As Jews, we're true and tried people. We've been through the mill before. What do? Last time there was a big plague, an epidemic. One of the times, a couple hundred years ago, we had this problem. And what do? We have records. Rosh Salanter took a strong position, told the people to eat. He said, we may have to violate the Torah now, but we have to save lives. Very important. Even Rabbi Kibbe Eger, who took a more lenient position about saving lives, but he took tremendous measures to make sure that people would be as safe as can be, that everything was under the guidance of the doctors. So too today, we have to listen to the health authorities, we have to listen to the doctors, we have to listen to the great Rabbanim who made these major decisions. And we have to have social distancing, we have to stay out of shul, and we have to adhere to these rules. And hopefully with this, hopefully no one will get sick, hopefully we'll come out of this with as few deaths as possible, as few illnesses as possible, and the plague will pass, everything will pass, and God willing, we'll be able to resume our normal activities and with the proper guidance of all of our Rabbanim. Ashrinu Matov Chalkeinu, thank God, we live in a country that cares about the 2%, cares about the older people who might die, the sick people. Thank God, we have Judaism that cares about life, Achaybam, that cares about the saving of life. And with a world like this, hopefully, it will bring Orav Simcha. Eventually, we'll have great joy. Eventually, we'll resume our lives. God willing, should be soon. And we'll do so knowing that our country and our religion cares about our lives so much. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lamed congregation for our discussion of this cholera epidemic of 1832. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.